Hi, everyone. What do dogs and cats have to do with what it takes to build and maintain a culture of integrity at your organization? Only everything. I'm your host, Bill Coffin, and this is the Ethicast. Coffin's laws of pet ownership are as follows. One, never own a pet that makes you question your place on the food chain. Two, never own a pet that, if it escapes its enclosure, your first inclination would be to kill it rather than to recapture it. And three, if you're going to have a dog, have two dogs. They need each other. This two dogs rule has served my family well over the years. Typically, we have one older and one younger. The younger keeps the older spry, and the older shows the younger the ropes. When the older dog inevitably breaks our hearts, the younger gets promoted and teaches the new puppy everything it knows. It's a great system that is ultimately overseen by our cat, Kismet. We've had Kismet for 15 years, and she has laid down the law for five generations of dogs in our house: Sydney, Ginger, Orion, Luna, and most recently, Dipper. Whenever a new dog comes into the house, one of the first things the older dog does is introduce them to Kismet. This is Kismet. She is the boss. Follow her lead when it comes to asking for snacks and taking naps. Also, she has exclusive rights to upstairs. And the dogs listen to each other. At this point, Kismet doesn't even need to instruct the new dogs anymore. The old dogs do it for her, passing down knowledge from dog to dog. Luna doesn't know the agreement that Kismet and Sydney initially hammered out in 2009. She just knows what Orion taught her, which she has since taught to Dipper. And on it goes. So why do I mention this, apart from the fact that dogs and cats are awesome and I would find a reason to include them in every episode if I could? Because this Kismet runs the house thing isn't just a curious artifact of dog years versus cat years. It's actually culture. When I was in college, I took an anthropology class in which I learned that culture, at its most basic, is the transmission of learned knowledge. When a sea otter shows another otter where to find the best rocks for smashing oysters, and then that otter passes it along to another otter, that's culture. When a troop of chimpanzees discovers and preserves a tradition for using a certain kind of grass to get termites out of their nest, that's culture. When a pod of killer whales goes around wearing dead fish on their heads as hats as some kind of fashion trend, that's culture. It's also tacky, but who's going to tell an orca that? The fact that culture isn't exclusively human does something very interesting. It removes culture from the ephemeral, subjective, unquantifiable realm of art and places it into the inherently measurable and quantifiable realm of science. Once we understand that, it massively transforms our understanding of what culture is and, more importantly, how we can define, modify, improve, and transform it. For organizations, this means that their workplace culture is something they can optimize if they take seriously the task of measuring it, understanding it, analyzing it, and implementing change. Culture doesn't exactly thrive under the hazy standard of "this is how we've always done things." That might work for those of us who live in dog years, but for the rest of us, not so much. If your organization rewards bad behavior, then you don't just have a potential compliance problem. You might have a serious culture problem. And if your culture seems immovable, it's because you haven't measured it yet. As in all things, the data will set you free. Art produces reactions, but science produces results. Be scientific about your culture. You'll be glad you did, and so will everyone else within it. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to wrap this up. Kismet's called a house meeting. This editorial is from the spring issue of Ethisphere magazine, available at magazine.ethisphere.com. In this issue, we take a deep dive into culture measurement with the Ethisphere Data and Services team, and we showcase culture success stories from companies such as Eaton, Allianz Life, Atkins Realis, Ingredion, and JBS Foods. Download your free copy at magazine.ethisphere.com. Next week, from April 22nd through the 24th, I'll be broadcasting live from the Global Ethics Summit in Atlanta, Georgia. If you're attending in person and would like to appear on the Ethicast to share your insights and success stories with the global ethics community, just swing by our broadcasting desk and say hello. And finally, to connect with the Ethisphere culture team and learn how you can measure and elevate your organization's culture, please visit ethisphere.com/solutions. I'm Bill Coffin, and this has been the Ethicast. For more episodes, please visit the Ethisphere YouTube channel at youtube.com/ethisphere. And if this is your first time enjoying the show, please make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, remember, strong ethics is good business.